Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord continued, because of His great tolerance, I have given Him, that is Bali Maharaj, a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planet during the period of the Manu known as Sarvani. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Here the word Madashrayaha is very significant. Because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra, the demigods might naturally have become envious of him and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Personality of Godhead assured Bali Maharaj that he would always remain under the Lord's protection, Madashrayaha. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoshtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Eshame prapitastanam duspraapa mamaraya api saravaner antarasyayam bhavitendro madashrayaha. The Lord continued, because of His great tolerance, I have given Him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu, known as Sarvani. So we're hearing about the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how it comes in different ways. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, there's a tendency to feel that now everything's going to be just hunky-dory, fine, no problems anymore, everything's gone away, all my sufferings and things, but as we progress on Krishna consciousness, we find that actually there are many challenges to meet, and we have to be stoical in order to meet those challenges and determined not to be put off in any way, because. Unfortunately, although we've had some mercy from the devotees, from Srila Prabhupada, and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, actually, generally, we're not really so qualified. And therefore, there's a lot of work we have to do. And a lot of purification is required. And therefore, the Lord has to bestow his mercy in a way in which we will become purified. Otherwise, we will never achieve the ultimate goal, which is actually to go back home, back to the spiritual world. And if we want to go back home, back to the spiritual world, it's essential that we become pure. And without being pure, we won't go back to the spiritual world, back to back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna, to play with Krishna, to be friends with Krishna, whatever our position is. So, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in many different forms, and one of those forms is that he takes things away. And of course, most of the things he takes away, it's just for our benefit. Actually, everything that he takes away is really just for our benefit. Because they're unwanted things, anartas. And anarta means something that's unwanted. It's not required. So we have so many anartas, so many unwanted, unrequired things that are getting in the way, that are obstacles, rocks on the path of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here how that even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. And then he explains about he mentions Sudama Vipra. So Sudama Vipra, he was actually suffering severe material scarcity. It's described by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book, it's chapter 80. The whole story is over two chapters, 80 and 81. But in the first chapter 80, he's explained how his wife, Sudama Vipra's wife, was trembling because of lack of lack of food, maybe also lack of clothes, trembling, literally trembling. But so she appealed to Sudama Vipra, her husband. She says, "Why don't you go and see your friend? I know that you are friends with Krishna." She was a very advanced devotee herself, so she could recognize actually that her husband was very fixed. She says, "You know, surely he'll help you." And she actually speaks a very nice verse. Where she's speaking to her husband. Sorry, the bookmark is not working. But I'll find it very soon. All it's doing is giving me the reference, so I can find it. So it's verse 11 of chapter 80. Oh no, yes it is, yeah. She says, "Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bhojas, Vrishnis and Andakas, and is staying at Dwarka. Since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshipper prosperity and material enjoyment?" Then she says a very interesting thing. She says, after having said he will bestow his prosperity and material enjoyment, she says, "those things which are not even very desirable." So she's understanding that that material prosperity and material enjoyment are not really desirable. They're not the goal of life. But at the same time, she doesn't want her husband to suffer, and therefore she's asking him to go to see his friend Krishna, So, and in the purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they say at the end of the purport, as mentioned here, material wealth and sense gratification are not very desirable. So, if our material opulence is taken away, and we feel that it's not really very desirable, so what? What does it matter? There's no problem. These things are not not required, actually, for our real happiness. They say the reason for this is that in the long run, they give no real satisfaction. So material opulence and sense enjoyment give no real satisfaction. Actually, they just produce suffering. Still, Sudama's wife thought, even if Sudama went to Dwarka and simply remained silent before the Lord, he would certainly give him abundant wealth, as well as shelter at his lotus feet, which was Sudama's real objective. So Sudama, actually, he agreed to the proposal of his wife. Not because, actually, he really wanted to ask for anything, because he wasn't attached at all. He was totally fixed, actually, in worship of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. But he thought, this is a good opportunity. Why not go and see Krishna? You know, we went to school together. So I'll go and see him. So he felt, well, I've got to take something to give to Krishna. You can't go empty-handed to visit your friend, especially if it's Krishna. So he asked his wife, have you got anything that that I can give to the Lord when I go to see him? Because, of course, ladies are always much better at finding gifts, things to give. I always found it a big problem, you know, what to buy for a present for somebody. Big problem. But ladies, somehow they've got this natural ability to just find the right thing. Anyway, unfortunately, she didn't have anything in the house. They were so poor. So she begged just 4 handfuls of chipped rice. Not even basmati, first-class rice, just chipped rice. So he wrapped it up in a cloth and took it with him, which is also a good lesson in itself, that we should learn that actually, even if we can just do something very small or give something very small, like just a smile or something, it's actually valuable. And we shouldn't not do it just because it's just a small thing. And in fact, it's often said that devotion is seen in the detail. Like if we paint a picture, we don't just do like a modern art thing. It's just a slash here of paint and there and that. Like that. No, actually, it's in all the detail. So in all our great arts of work in Krishna consciousness, you'll see there's so much detail there. And that's what really makes it so wonderful. So even small things are very important. So Sudama Vipra took the chipped rice to Krishna. He had to walk there. And even when he was quite a long distance away, Krishna, who was actually sitting on the bedstead with Rukmini, he could see that Sudama Vipra was coming. So Krishna became very happy. And said, oh, my friend from so long ago is coming to see me. So he went to Sudama Vipra, went through all the gates, which actually were very difficult to get through. But because he was a very fixed devotee, he was allowed through many gates until he eventually came to the audience of Krishna, who's with Rukmini. And Krishna started to serve his friend, because Krishna, he's showing how householders should behave. I was just reading, actually, in the Krishna book, how Narad Muni was going from palace to palace, and how Krishna was always doing something. In every single palace, he was doing something to show how householders should act. So he's always giving great attention to his whatever wife it was he was in, whose palace he was in. He was doing his puja. He was getting up first thing in the morning. As soon as the cock crows, he would get up. And then, of course, his wives would feel disgusted because Krishna was leaving their side. And they didn't want that. But Krishna, even so, even though he was so comfortable being embraced by his wives, he would actually just get up anyway, straight away, not attached at all. So this is how we should be. Not attached to our beds, and just able to rise up immediately. I remember one instruction I once heard from my Guru Maharaj, and he said, actually, you should get up the first thing you wake up, or the first, as soon as you hear the alarm, get up straight away. No thinking about it, oh, you know, 5 minutes, or it's like that. Just straight away, you've got to get up. Because otherwise, you're giving time to the mind to play its tricks. So you have to just, as soon as you hear it, you get up. So if you make that vow, that determination first, that last thing at night, then it's much easier to do it, because you've somehow that makes an impression on the mind. So Krishna was showing us that. He just gets, as soon as the cock crows, then he's up. We should have cockerels here, actually, and so that we don't need alarm clocks. Anyway, he was doing so many different things. So he was showing the example of how to receive a guest. And he actually washed the feet of Sudama Vipra. And after washing the feet of Sudama Vipra and serving him, asking, giving him a nice place to sit and nice clean clothes and whatever it requires to worship, giving him a drink, water. We should, even if we can just only give water, we should give something to a guest. So then Sudama Vipra was feeling ashamed because he only had this chipped rice. He was holding it behind his back, actually. But, of course, Krishna, he wants to see what we're holding back. So Krishna was intrigued. He says, what have you got behind your back? And nothing, you know, because he was ashamed, you know, because he was in a wonderful, beautiful palace with so much luxury and opulence, and he just brought, I mean, he was you would feel ashamed, wouldn't you, if you came with some broken rice into a great, if you came, you went to some billionaire's house, like a week ago, Radhanath Maharaj had a program for disciples at a billionaire's house, literally. So we were all there. Now, if we just went to that billionaire and we gave him some bits of rice, chopped up bits of rice, he would think, what's this? What are you giving me this for? You know, so you would feel embarrassed by it. It's only natural. But Krishna, he doesn't care about all that. So he just grabbed it. He grabbed the broken rice. And he says, oh, such a wonderful gift you've brought me. Krishna was so pleased that he brought him something. So that's just to reinforce the point that whatever little we can do for Krishna, whatever little small thing we can give to him, then Krishna becomes so pleased. So we don't need to worry that, you know, what I do is insignificant and not worthy or anything like that. Any small thing. So Krishna started to eat it. He took one mouthful of that rice, and he became ecstatic. Not because it was, I don't even know if it was cooked rice, to be honest with you, but it doesn't say, I don't think. But anyway, Krishna ate it, whether it was cooked or not, and he became ecstatic just eating that rice. And I don't know how many, maybe you can remember, I didn't get time to read all the pastime, but I don't know how many mouthfuls he took, but at some point, Rukmini Devi, who is Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she says, no more, no more, that's enough. You've taken enough. Don't take any more. And so Krishna, they had a nice time together, Sudama Vipra and Krishna. They were reminiscing over their school days when they were in Gurukul together. actually, there's one nice aspect to this, is that when they were sent out by, they were sent out together by their spiritual master to collect firewood, which is what in Gurukuls the students, the brahmacharis, the disciples would do. They would be sent out to collect firewood. And of course, you probably mostly know the story, how they went out and suddenly a big storm blew up, a huge storm. And they got trapped. They just couldn't. It was so bad, that storm. It was so dark and the rain was pouring so much. There was thunder and lightning, and it was quite frightening, actually, at least for Sudama Vipra, not probably for Krishna so much. He probably, it was his arrangement, I think. But it became so terrifying that actually they climbed up into a tree, and they had to stay there most of the night, if not all night, actually. And Krishna, he knew that Sudama Vipra had actually brought something with him. And correct me if I get the details wrong. I might do, because it's quite a while since I read this pastime. But so, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anyway, they had some prasad with them. So, I can't quite remember, you can tell me if you read it recently, whether it was Sudama who had the prasad, and Krishna knew that, and he says, anyway, Sudama had some, but he held some back, because he was a bit worried that, you know, he would be hungry later, or something like that. Something was in his mind, he held it back. He didn't give everything to Krishna. But in any case, I think he gave something to Krishna. Am I right? Sorry? No, this was when they were in the forest. Not in the... Yeah, Srinivas? He took Krishna's portion. Oh, right, okay, that's even better. Yeah, okay, so he took... Yeah, anyway, I know... That's what happened, that he kept it for himself. And as Srinivas Prabhu says, that may be one reason why he actually became poverty-stricken. But in any case, now he actually gave something to Krishna, and Krishna didn't hold any grudges. So that's the part I like about it, that even though Sudama Vipra, and Krishna knew it, of course, Krishna knew, because he knows everything, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he knew that what he'd done. Of course, Sudama didn't realize that, but Krishna didn't hold any. He didn't feel, oh, you know, that you didn't give me everything, and then he feels, you know, he didn't feel envious or angry towards Sudama Vipra. He was just happy now that Sudama Vipra had come and given him some chipped rice. Eventually, after being embarrassed, So. That's another wonderful lesson we can learn about Krishna's qualities, that actually whatever we've done in the past, whatever sinful activities we've engaged in, whatever mistakes we've made, we needn't feel that that Krishna will hold it against us. Krishna's all forgiving. And if we just, of course we should repent, we should not just, we can't continue doing those things as long as we give up our bad habits, our sinful activities, and repent sincerely from the core of our hearts, then Krishna will definitely accept that, and he will forgive us. And he won't hold anything against us just because, oh, look what you did in the past, you know. Of course, we do have to win his trust. That's one of the points, actually, why we have to go through trials and tribulations, because we have... we have turned our back on Krishna, and as a result of turning our back on Krishna, Krishna's feeling feeling bad. He's feeling, oh, my friend has, you know, turned against me. But Krishna never feels angry towards that person. If we just repent and we start to serve Krishna with whatever ability we have, then he will definitely accept us again. Just like there's one nice prayer in the Sanat Kumar Samhita. It says, aham apya paradanam alayas chakta sadhanaha agatishta tato nato bhavanto me bhavatgati. He says, the speaker of the prayer is saying, I'm an offender. I've abandoned all spiritual duties. I have no shelter. O my Lord Sri Sri Radha Krishna, please become my shelter. You both are the goal of my life. So if we have that mood that actually, yes, I am an offender, I've abandoned all spiritual duties, because in the past we have, otherwise we wouldn't be here in this situation. I've abandoned all duties. But you're so merciful. Actually, it goes on to say that Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are an ocean of mercy. So he says, please be merciful to me. I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. Please engage me, a sinner and an offender, in your service. So, in two of those verses, there's actually five verses in the Sri Sanat Kumar Samhita, which is recommended we should, the sixth verse actually says that, it's saying, O best of Munis, one who desires to quickly attain the direct service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, of the divine couple in Vrindavan, should daily recite these five verses. If we really want to have the direct service of the divine couple in Vrindavan, we should always recite these five verses. So they're very, very beautiful verses. So if we just adopt that mood, which is explained in those verses, that actually I'm a sinner and offender, please forgive me and please accept me, please give me some service at your lotus feet, then Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the all merciful ones, they will definitely accept us. So of course, the first way that we how we start to serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna is through hearing and relishing the past Krishna's pastimes as much as possible, which is why I'm mentioning about Sudama Vipra. So of course, after having a nice time together, Sudama had to leave, and he went home, and he was just very happy that he'd met Krishna. Actually, he wasn't expecting any reward, any recompense. So of course he traveled home, and he walked home, and then when he got close to his cottage, which is Ramshackle Cottage, he wasn't much of a DIY person, so, you know, it was pretty ramshackle, but he couldn't find it. He said, this is very strange. He could find a wonderful mansion, and he says, I'm sure this is where I used to live, in this area, but all he could find was this beautiful mansion. And then a lady came out who was very beautiful and youthful and shining, with a brightly shining face, and he didn't recognize her, but of course it was his wife. And when she paid her respects to him, obeisances to him, and spoke to him, then of course he recognized that, oh, this is my wife, what has happened? And she explained, well, you went to see Krishna, and this is what's happened. You, your house has been transformed into a great, a wonderful palace. So, and then of course, Sudama Vipra, he also became, he got a, similar form to his wife, also equally beautiful and beautifully adorned with clothes and jewels. But the point was that he was not attached at all. He was completely fixed in his vow to serve Krishna. So therefore, Krishna was happy to give him that, because he knew it wouldn't affect him in any way. So that's our goal, to be actually, whether we're in complete poverty, in a poverty-stricken state, or whether we're in opulence, that we're always actually fixed on the serving Radha and Krishna. And knowing that whatever it is I have is just meant for the service of Krishna and for nothing, no other purpose. Whether it's my material possessions, my body, my mind, anything actually, it's all meant for this, for serving Krishna. My whole life is actually just meant for the service of Krishna. There's actually nothing else, really. Because Krishna is actually, is everything. So if we do actually have any suffering condition, there's actually one very nice verse, which I like very much, and His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu likes to chant before taking prasadam, because it begins prasade. Prasade savadukanam hanirasyo pachayate prasana chetaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtate. Because it says, for one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. So, if we're actually really in Krishna consciousness, then actually misery doesn't affect us. The body may be suffering. It may be enduring material afflictions, disease, sickness, poverty, whatever it may be. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Some special pastime going on here. But if we actually are truly in Krishna consciousness, this is the state we'll be in. For one thus satisfied, when we get the higher taste, we become satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Then the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. They don't affect that individual, just like Srila Prabhupada was unaffected by his material condition in 1977 in Vrindavan, when he was leaving his body. Those material sufferings exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So, if we just keep on hearing about Krishna and his pastimes, then all material sufferings are assuaged. They all completely cease. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions or comments.